So today is the Feast of the Holy Family, the Sunday within the octave of the Epiphany. The epistle is taken from that of St. Paul to the Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Brethren, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another if anyone has a grievance against any other. Even as the Lord has forgiven you, so also do you forgive. But above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And may the peace of Christ reign in your hearts. Unto that peace indeed, you are called in one body. And so show yourselves thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly. In all wisdom, teach and admonish one another by psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing in your hearts to God by His grace. Whatever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And please stand for today's Gospel, taken from St. Luke chapter 2, verses 42 through 52. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And after they had fulfilled the days when they were returning, the boy Jesus remained in Jerusalem, and his parents did not know it. But thinking that he was in the caravan, they had come a day's journey before it occurred to them to look for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem in search of him. And it came to pass after 3 days that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who were listening to him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou done so to us? Behold, thy father and I have been seeking thee sorrowing. And he said to them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they did not understand the word that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these things carefully in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace before God and man. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, especially children, of course, aren't we all children, some bigger, some smaller? Our Lord was the perfect example of the children's obedience to their parents. For he was subject to Mary and Joseph for 30 years before he began his public life. And Jesus Christ is God. The Son of God was obedient to creatures because Mary and Joseph were created. They were humans. So here we have the mystery of how God the Son, in the humanity of Christ, showed subjection and obedience to humans, right? Mary and Joseph. So if ever we find it difficult to obey our mom and dad, or to obey our superiors, to obey the laws, right? Let us remember Christ, right? He is God himself, yet he obeyed creatures that he created, right? He obeyed them. And some might wonder, why is it, if our Lord was the Son of God, why did he stay home for 30 years? Shouldn't he have been out there doing something, saving souls? You know, you think, why isn't he out there preaching and working miracles or raising people from the dead? Why is he wasting his time for 30 years at home? Was he really wasting his time? You know, that's a spiritual principle here, right? Before any action of conversion or apostolate can have any beginning, there must be a foundation of prayer, foundation of solitude, of closeness to God. Our Lord is giving us the example. Our Lord is also showing us the example that it's not a question, first of all, of activity. We could all go out and preach to all the other parishioners of the local churches, explain why it's so important to come back to tradition, and we wouldn't have hardly anybody come back to tradition. Right? Because it's not a question of just preaching and the words, the sound of our words from our voices that touch the ears of other people. It's a question of grace. It's a supernatural problem we have in the world today. Spiritual and supernatural a question of conversion. Therefore, any activity that we have, any apostolate that we have, any Catholic action that we want to be involved in to bring Christ's reign into society has to be based on a supernatural principle. And that supernatural principle must be exercised in our own life first. And how can we dare to say that we want to bring peace to the world if we ourselves are not at peace with God or not at peace with others? We can't bring peace to the world. I mean, our Lord is the Prince of Peace. The peace meaning the tranquility of order, the order of our, the soul of man to God and the law of God. So we have to be sure that order is in our life first. Our Lord is a perfect example. 30 years at home, right, with Mary and Joseph, right, showing his submission to the will of God. You see, we want to become saints, we want to save souls. Let us be faithful and obedient to the will of God in our own life. That's the best thing we can do. So those of you who are moms and dads, right, be faithful to those obligations that belong to moms and dads. Be a good mom. Be a good dad. No, be a good husband. Be a good wife. See, in other words, be faithful to the will of God in your duty, according to your duties in your state of life. Do God's will first before you attempt to go out in the world to try to convert the rest of the world to the church. No, no. Let's make sure that we've converted ourselves first. And we've sanctified our own family first. But is there an apparent contradiction here? I mean, why did Jesus stay in Jerusalem against his parents' knowledge, without his parents' knowledge, maybe against their wishes? I mean, did he disobey them? Was he tricking them? He didn't get permission. Of course, he is the Son of God after all. So there are mysteries being worked here. Right? So why was this? Why did he work this special? Or the special sign of not getting or letting them know what he was going to do. Well, he did this in order to give us the example of the most perfect kind of obedience, which is the obedience to God before man. Right? God must be obeyed first before man. If the will of man gets in the way of the will of God, you know, there are stories of saints, for example, St. Thomas Aquinas. When he was a boy, a young man, he wanted to be go into the religious life. His family did not want him to go into the religious life, so they prevented him from going in. And it happens sometimes that there are boys who may desire to become a priest or a monk, and the dad says, "No, that's not what God wants for you, because I've already got the business going, and you're going to take over when I retire. You have to take over my business. You can't go off and become a priest. No." If the God is calling that boy, he has to disobey his dad and go obey God. God first. Same thing with a girl who's called to be a nun or a sister. Right? The mom says, "Oh no, I need you here. No, you can't." I mean, obviously there is a distinction you have to make when there's a necessity. But normally, it's just up to the children, the boys and the girls, to obey God's call first. I mean, it's up to the parents. And when God gives the children to the parents, it's not to give the parents more possessions, as if they possess their boys and girls. No. The children are entrusted to the care of the parents, so that the parents taking care of the children, raising them properly, they can help the children to see the will of God for them, for themselves, and do the will of God. That's the goal of the parents, to raise those children so that they will be inclined to do the will of God in their own life and serve God. That way, when we all get to heaven, we've all done the will of God. Right? Parents realize that when they look at those little boys and girls, well, those boys and girls belong to Christ first, even before the mom and dad, because Christ created them. God created them. Same thing with the priests. When we look at the parishioners, they don't belong to the pastor. They belong to the true shepherd, who is Christ, the first shepherd. You know, remember that when our Lord spoke to St. Peter and said, Simon, dost thou love me? And Simon said, yes, Lord, I love, you know all things, I love thee. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Now, our Lord did not say to Simon Peter, feed your sheep, feed your lambs. He said, feed my lambs. So, parents, remember that too, that those children belong to Christ. You want to feed them, nourish them spiritually and materially too, yes, but especially spiritually so that they can truly be the sheep of Christ. They follow the voice of Christ. And we don't want, parents, I'm sure they don't want to, you don't want to get in the way of the voice of God. I'm sure you probably don't. Same thing with the priests. We want to make sure we don't get in the way of the voice of God for our flock too. We want to help lead you to Christ, not to ourselves, right? So that's an important point. Our Lord is showing us by being lost in the temple, as it were, that it's more important, first of all, we have to obey, first of all, God, and then man. God first. Now, there's an example here. We can make an application. For example, children are not bound to obey their parents when their parents command something sinful. Or when their parents command them to follow a state of life that is not what God wants them to do. Right. So, children must be subject to their parents and obey their parents, just as our Lord gave us the example. He obeyed Mary and Joseph, and he's God. Right. Parents represent the authority of God. St. Paul strongly commends this in his epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 6. Our children obey your parents, because they represent God. But now what happens if the parents don't represent God? In a practical sense. In other words, they don't reflect the holiness of Christ. Right? They don't reflect the goodness and the compassion of Our Lady. Now, is it going to be hard for those children to want to respect and obey those parents? Of course it is. So parents, don't make it harder for yourselves. Right? If you find, gosh, my children, they don't have any order in the house. They don't keep their room in order. They don't keep their life in order. What's the matter with them? Well, oftentimes it's because the parents, in their own personal life, their heart is not in order with God. Their heart isn't in order first. So parents, be sure that your heart is in order with God, and you are in order with God with regard to your duties and your state of life, with regard to your prayer life, with regard to your self-sacrifice and avoiding occasions of sin and so on. And then the order trickles down to your children. It is natural, as it were. Right? Like the pyramid, right? It'll trickle down to them, and they will feel the order, as it were, and it'll come down and help them to be in order. But if there's a disorder in mom and dad, it's inevitably going to create a disorder in the boys and girls in the home. Right? So why is it, though, today that there is such a lack of respect toward parents or towards authority in general? Well, I think the first and most important reason is because society today has rejected God, who is the author of authority and obedience, the author of what is reverent and sacred. Right? So there's no sense of respect toward anything that's greater anymore, because it's all mankind. But in a practical sense, the first cause of disrespect or irreverence in children towards parents, towards adults, towards sacred things, towards important things in society, it's a lack of training in the family, in the home. By respect towards the parents, towards adults, towards property of other people, that it comes from the home, from mom and dad. So this is where you see the family is such an important institution by God. Right? All of society is based on the family, the raising of those children in the home by mom and dad. Because all of us are members of a society. But we are members of, well, the first society, which is our home, our family. And so it's the home that provides good citizens in our country, and provides good parishioners in our church, provides good priests in the priesthood and nuns in the convent and so on. The homes are it's like the garden. Everything is planted right there. And so the gardeners are, of course, ultimately, the gardener is Christ and supernatural grace. But God uses instruments in that home. He uses channels of grace. And those channels are the mom and dad. They are the channels of grace. And how is grace given? How can we be a more effective channel of grace to help sanctify our husbands, our wives, our children? Right? for our neighbor. I mean, because we are all, in a sense, a channel of grace for each other in the midst of the body of Christ. We're members of one body. But what's the most effective way? Well, the example was given to us by Christ, right? On the cross. Right? To be a victim for the sins of other people. To be a victim for sin. To be willing to forgive our enemies. To accept injustice for the sake of Christ. Provided that it doesn't cause us to neglect our duties to God. Right? And then the more we become like Christ on the cross, the more efficacious a channel of grace we will be for God to sanctify and save other souls. It's an important little spiritual rule for moms and dads. Oh, how are we going to save our kids? Maybe we've got to be stricter. We've got to use that paddle more often. I don't think that's going to be the solution. You need more grace. More grace. Right? And the grace has to be merited. And, I mean, God, if the parents are bad, God can still give grace to the children in, you know, to save them. But God normally is going to use the channel of the parents. So let the parents be close to God so that the family will be holy. And we'll finish with that this morning. I mean, when we see the Holy Family, why was the Holy Family holy? Well, see, who are the members of the Holy Family? Well, there's Christ himself, Christ's child. So Christ is in the midst. And there's Mary, Our Lady, and St. Joseph. Okay, we all want to have a holy family, so we have to have those three in the midst of our family. Christ must be in the home. Like the supernatural life living for Christ. The Christian spirit must be in the home. Right? Detachment, spirit of poverty, like the stable. Detachment from material things. Right? We have to use them, it's true. But we shouldn't be just thinking about them all day long from morning till night. Opening one catalog after the other, what we would like to buy. We probably all do that. We have to be careful. Right? And then Our Lady. Right? The Immaculate Conception. Purity. The great devotion to Our Lady in the home. That's what we need to have. And then, yes, let every man look to St. Joseph as a model. I think every wife would really appreciate that. Right? Let every husband look to St. Joseph as a model. To imitate St. Joseph in doing the will of God and showing love, care, protection, compassion, towards his wife. Right? So I think if we keep our Lord, the Christ child, Our Lady and St. Joseph in our homes, then I think all of us, right, will be able to say that we each belong also to a holy family. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.